Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to Listen, Bitch, the show where you get told the truth, even if it hurts. And I'm literally my brain is fried right now. I haven't talked to people yet. You guys, welcome to Listen, Bitch. So before we dive into today's conversation, let's go through a few things. You guys already know that I am on my Omega blood test soapbox. Okay. So if you give a damn about your brain, your mood, your hormones, your heart, literally, whether you're aging like a raisin or fine wine, okay, get your Omega blood test. Stop guessing about your inflammation. Keep in the link in the notes. Use it before you talk yourself out of caring about your health. Okay. Second, Listen, Bitch, you guys, is officially open for sponsors. If your brand is bold, faith-driven, helpful, actually changes people's lives, hit me up, okay? I can only promote what I use and love or believe in. So if you want your name in front of a loyal, fired up audience, I guess, let's make it happen, okay? I brought a guest on today and I'm excited about this, okay? This product not gonna mess up, clearly. I've got Mike here today and he's not here to give you that cheesy Pinterest psychology or soft self-love fluff. Okay. He has built a successful life on paper, leadership, business, the whole American dream checklist. And he still felt like he was losing the fight inside his own head. So if you've ever hit that point where you feel like you're just doing everything right and still feel wrong on the inside, you're going to understand where he's coming from immediately. He created a program called Learn to Love Being You. And yeah, it sounds cute, right? But I think once we realize that it came from him clawing his way out of the gauntlet of life, you're gonna see that, this is an identity built on survival. So, Mike, I'm super excited to have you here, and I'm gonna turn it over to you so you can teach us the real stuff here.
That's a great introduction. I appreciate
Yeah,
that.
of course.
But you nailed it. That's exactly how this program was built, is through a life full of misery, even though I was having success on the outside. So yeah, it was well said.
Well, I think there's I just personally, I've coached women who have the epitome of success. If you look at them on paper, they've got the money, they've got the cars, they've got the relationship, they've got the accolades, they've got the awards, they've got everything. And they are some of the most unhappy people I've ever, ever, ever dealt with. And just being in that perspective, I kind of have already known, that little whisper of like, success is not what you think it is, girl. Like, it is
No,
not what
it's
you think
not.
it is. We accomplish these big goals and these big dreams. And my whole life, I wanted to be an author. I published a book, and I've never been more depressed than after that book came out. I was the bottom of the barrel because everywhere I went, there I was. I'm like, wow, it didn't change anything. What?
You still are stuck with these thoughts in your head.
I'm stuck.
It's I when I was a young man just trying to make it in the world, I thought if I got, the house, the job, the wife, I found all of those things, got to where I was making more money where my wife could stay home, thought that was going to make me happy. I found peace for about a month after every one of those things, and
Yeah.
then after every achievement, the negative voices in my head just kept getting louder and louder and louder. And when I was about 45 years old, about 7 years ago, I literally had achieved everything. There wasn't nothing left but retirement. I was making more money than I thought I could ever make. Like, there literally was nothing else in front of me that would, I didn't have any other goals. And
Right.
the noise in my head was, I was as miserable as I ever was, because there was nothing else to put out there to chase, to occupy my mind. And I told my boss at the time, the owner of the company I worked for, I was going to quiet my mind by any means necessary. And I don't think he understood the full effect of that, but I meant it.
Yeah.
Like, and I turned my focus from the outside world, turned it inward, and everything changed. Everything changed really quickly.
How close did you get to like actually carrying out what I know a lot of people that have been at that point of like there's nothing and it's something I can relate to. Like if I'm not trying, if I have nothing to grow for or to achieve or anything to develop personally. Like, what is our point here in the human experience? If you're done,
You're
what's
done.
the
Yeah,
point?
exactly. Yeah, because when you don't have anything out in front of you now, you're losing hope. Hope
Yeah.
is an amazing thing that'll push humans to go and do. But if I've achieved everything, I didn't know what else to chase. Now I lost hope. And
Right.
how close did that come? I was tired. I was tired. I
Yeah.
was done. My mind was just chewing me up, and I tried, all the extracurricular stuff too, the drugs, the alcohol, through my journey, and just, weed through my 20s kind of helped, I guess. But it's nothing's ever enough. And then once I learned how to do simple things to quiet my mind and bring my attention into the present moment, I just started going, well, wait a minute, I actually can calm this monster down. And
Right.
then once I found one little iota of success there, I dove in with an abandonment. I was meditating 2 or 3 hours a day. I was consuming books on Audible, 4 or 5 books a month, and then just absorbing as much information and learning this new path that I was headed on. And I found some success really quickly, and then I stumbled across a guy, Chris Hancock, because I learned a little trick. I found that if I put a crystal in my hand, that I could feel the energy in my hand, and it was pretty amazing. And it wasn't because I could feel energy in my hand, but it was when I could feel the energy in my hand, the thoughts in my brain turned off. And it
Right.
was like, wow, this is a cool little trick. I started carrying rocks around everywhere with me. I became the crazy old man carrying rocks around, but it was for a purpose. And because it would quiet my mind when I would
Yeah.
focus on my hand. And then it led me to an energy guy, that was doing energy healing. And he basically, over a handful of years, I still go to him. I've been going to him for about 5.5, 6 years. He taught me how the subconscious mind works and how where
Right.
all those thoughts come from. And over time, those skills that I learned in that room with him, just diving in and facing all the old fears, it gave me liberation, because the thing about the subconscious mind is it has no concept of time. So
Right.
anything that happened to us when we were 5 years old is still happening right now. And for me, I have a rare form of dyslexia, and I learned how to read when I was 25 years old. So I did a lot of manual jobs till I was about 35, and it left a lot of shame. So when I was 5 years old in kindergarten, the first core belief that got created was that I wasn't as smart as everybody else because I couldn't spell Michael, and my
Right.
teacher at the time didn't know how to deal with it, and so she was trying to get me to just. She got frustrated. She said, "Well, just don't spell Michael, spell Mike." And at that time, her frustration, and then I started noticing all the other kids in class were able to spell their name, and it got me into an elevated state. And the clear intention was that I was dumb. And that's how the subconscious mind gets programmed. So we could all go back to our childhood and go, "All right, when did we get into an elevated emotional state and get left
Right.
with a clear intention of something negative?" And it's all the time, right? And so when that happens, the subconscious mind holds on to that moment because it's trying to protect us. And that moment, it is literally searching out all day long, every day, to try to protect us from feeling dumb again. And in
Right.
doing so, it's bringing up negative thoughts that you're stupid. We don't know how to process those thoughts because it was a 5-year-old kid who
Right.
created a core belief that it no longer serves us. And it was designed, the subconscious mind was designed to protect us. So let's just say
Correct.
I was a 2-year-old little boy, and I was walking along the edge of the pool and I fell in.
Yeah.
I get water in my lungs, and then somebody comes along and saves me.
Yeah.
The subconscious mind was designed to where that would be a fearful memory that we need to protect us. So the next time I'm walking along the edge of the pool as a 2-year-old, I remember the water is a fearful thing and I
Yeah.
stay away from it so I don't drown the next time. That's the reason, that's the purpose of our subconscious mind, to protect us. The problem is anything we attach to our ego, the subconscious mind is going to try to protect the same way. So if I attach being a smart kid or wanting to be as smart as the rest of them, now all of a sudden that's something to attack. And the subconscious mind is going to protect anything I attach to my ego the same way it would protect somebody putting a gun to my head.
Right.
So we don't realize that we have hundreds of old negative core beliefs that were created when we were young. It doesn't matter how healthy your home life mm-hmm. was. And some people have extremely horrible ones, but we're all dealing with the same core beliefs that were created that don't no longer serve us, because they were created by a young kid that was in a stressful moment right. that didn't know how to process that information. So I kind of became somewhat an expert in how the subconscious mind works over the last years. I've rewritten maybe almost 200 at this point. I logged them for a handful of years and I stopped logging them. But somewhere along the line, after about 5 to 10, every one of them starts bubbling up. And you almost go through a really terrible time because they're all saying, hey, I don't want to live like this anymore either. Right. I don't like this. But then when you get to the other side of that 5 to 10, life just starts to change a little bit. All of a sudden you're sitting on the couch and you're not negative for no reason. You're kind of happy. I compare it to what the Buddhists call, you know, Buddhists and Christianity to me really aligns really well. And the Buddhists say that there's 7 levels of hell and 7 levels of heaven. And they believe that it's all here and now in the present moment. Mm-hmm. And our goal is to get to that 7 levels of heaven here on earth. And I think most people are living below that line. Right. And I know that I was, and to use that as an analogy, as a baseline, as I got through these core beliefs, I started finding myself, you know, getting close to that halfway point to where I was like, okay, half of my time is I'm happy and the other half I'm still miserable, but this is now becoming a life worth living. I need to keep pushing in this direction. And it's been pretty amazing. And once I got to about 100, 125 of those core beliefs, I actually created my own writing exercise.
Nice. So,
yeah. I still pay Chris $240 a week to go see him just cause I love him. Actually, it's every other week, but it's an amazing experience for me to talk to him, cause he's just an amazing human. But, my program that I've created, you know, if you go through it, you could do what I've been doing for the last 5 or 6 years for free. Once you understand this little writing exercise, anybody could do it. And it's designed to be able to do it by yourself.
Nice.
I truly believe that everybody has them. That was almost one of the curses of healing so many things within myself,
right?
That I started to just see pain in everyone. And I wanted to scream from the rooftops, "Can I help you?" And then I realized nobody wanted my help and I needed to shut up.
I feel that. What was the biggest belief, like at your breaking point? What do you think was the biggest belief that you were carrying that almost destroyed you?
I'm stupid.
That's a big one.
That was a big one. Yeah. Because in elementary school and everything, you know, I was hiding, you know, you'd go through elementary school and back in when I was growing up in the late 70s, early 80s, nobody knew what dyslexia was and they didn't understand how to do it. They knew people would get me in classes. They actually put me in a class for kids that needed help. But it was such a dramatic thing. It was severe special needs or normal classes. And so they put me in the special needs class for about a week. And they were like, dude, get out of here. You don't belong in here.
You don't belong.
It was just, I just couldn't read, you know?
Yeah.
And so everybody pushed me along. They pushed me all the way through school and I learned tricks on how to get through, but it was so embarrassing. So many times I was trying to read and I couldn't. So I would be the kid sitting in the back of the class real quiet so I could be invisible, and I'd hide behind when they'd ask for somebody to read, I'd hide behind. And most teachers, after they asked me to read once, they never asked me to read again, but occasionally they would.
Right.
So, climbing
the ladder. This is what's crazy to me is that people don't realize, because they're going to say, well, Mike, you you climbed the ladder, you made money, you got the success that says, you know, everyone says will solve your problems. And like, how is that subconscious still? You had all the proof and truth of you were someone different. Cause I know a lot of very intelligent people that probably haven't even attempted to do what you've already accomplished. Okay. So
it's hard.
It's just a testament to how powerful your subconscious is, because nobody could look at the success you've had and be like, there's no way he really thought he was stupid.
Yeah. No, it's a program. That's the thing, is it's a program. So I drive an hour on the way home and to and from work every day. I don't ever think about how to drive. It's a subconscious program.
Right.
So that's what these things are. These core beliefs, they're subconscious programs that are held on because they're a fearful memory. I call it the love bucket and the fear bucket, right?
Yeah.
And so the fear bucket is going to produce cortisol, and it's going to put you. So if I think I'm dumb, or I'm going to, you know, I'm having these thoughts, all of a sudden now my body starts producing cortisol and it puts that on a reel. Like, I won't just think about it once. It'll kick into a reel. And if I just, it's such an amazing thing. And when I learned this, I was like, oh my gosh, why does everybody not know that? So there's a switch in your brain, right? There's a switch in your brain that is controlled by the content of your thoughts. And it's going to either produce cortisol or it's going to produce oxytocin. You can literally be drug-induced happy or drug-induced in a fearful state based off of the content of your thoughts. And it only takes 2 minutes. So if I'm in a fearful state because I'm having negative thoughts, or I'm worried about what's going to happen in the future, if I just start saying what I'm grateful for 2 minutes, the flip in my brain is going to go, whoop, and all of a sudden it's going to stop producing cortisol, start producing oxytocin. If I continue on for about another 5-10 minutes, I'm going to be drug-induced happy. And that is an amazing thing, because when you learn how to manually shift yourself out of a fearful state into a positive one, and you could shift those chemicals, you literally feel amazing. And it's something I didn't know I could do. It sounds corny, right? And you said it in the intro, the name of my program sounds corny, but at the end of the day, this is what it is. Like, this is how we were designed. God created us in a way that says, if you are having compassionate, loving thoughts, you are going to be in a compassionate, loving state, and your body's going to feel it. If you create enough oxytocin, and you literally just say what you're grateful for all day long, you will create so much oxytocin. If you could do it up for an hour and a half, Joe Dispenza has proven that it kicks in other chemicals in your body that will search out and heal parts of your body that are sick. So positive thoughts, if you do it enough, will literally heal ourselves. And on the other side, cortisol is killing us. Science has proven that 90% of all illnesses are coming from stress. Mm-hmm. What happens when you stress? You're getting cortisol, and cortisol is a poison. So once we start to just understand the basic fundamentals of how the mind and the body work together, we can start taking control of them.
I'm sure you hit these roadblocks, because I do all the time, because there are people that are just so addicted. Like, it is an addiction. It is a comfort in some level to have that cortisol racing through your veins, to have that you're engaged in fight or flight. So what is it? You know, these are people that hate their own thoughts and just are comfortable there. So that's someone that I couldn't be like, hey, Mike, listen, just think of something that you're grateful for 2 minutes. I mean, they're going to break my neck, right? They're
exactly.
It's so simple, but people overcomplicate it. But how do you speak to the rebels and the stubborn people I may be able to relate to more than I'd like to admit?
So if everybody can kind of understand how the subconscious mind works, it wants to keep you safe. Right. And that safe is in the same old familiar place that you know, and that is cortisol. Like, so if you're going to get out and try to do something to change. So like, when I started on this journey, my speech is really bad. So the I look up how to improve my speech, and I had to start recording myself and putting myself on a video. It was the most horrible thing that I think I've ever done. Just
Look
looking
at
at
you
myself.
now. Nobody could ever tell. I'm like, this, you're well spoken. Your thoughts are clear. Like, this is amazing.
Well,
So,
I appreciate that, but
yeah.
the first time I did it, it was like every ounce of my being was screaming at me, "Don't do
Right.
it." It's the subconscious mind saying, "Don't." They're all going to see how stupid you are. Like,
Danger,
stop. Yeah, danger.
danger.
But that's how we grow. So my argument or my response to anybody who is comfortable in those states, if you want to stay exactly where you are and live the life exactly as you're living it and settle for that, then that's what your subconscious mind is trying, where it's trying to keep you. You've reached a level of comfortability with the misery that you're living, and it's only so bad, and so you're good with it. But if you want to grow past that, you have to challenge all of it.
Right.
You have to come out of it. And some people, they're like, my boss, I'm the COO of Jarrett Companies here in Nashville, and his mind just races, and he listens to some of what I say. But if somebody doesn't want to hear it, they don't want to hear it.
Right.
But his way to make his brain calm down is to work. So when he works at all day at the office, and then he goes home and he works, and he goes to his farm on the weekends, and he goes into his garage and he reorganizes all of his tools, and he goes and buys labels and he labels everything. That's how he keeps his mind under control. And it's not a horrible thing, right? It's not the end of the world. But if you want something better, you have to take a different route.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's so many tools that the subconscious mind is kin to a computer.
Yeah.
And so it if you put a program in, it's going to constantly spit that same program out. And here's another thing that I think everybody needs to understand about the subconscious mind, or really two things. One is subconscious mind has no concept of time, which is a beautiful thing, and it's a curse. So when I was five and I got into that emotional state and I felt stupid, it's always the present moment. Everything that's ever happened to me happens in the present
Right
moment, so
then,
it's
yeah.
still then. So if we use I like to use what God basically did, right? God created the heavens and earth in 5 days. The 6 days he created mankind, and then rested on this sixth or seventh day. So what did man do for work? Or what did God do for work? He created, right? So if God created and we are made in the image of God, well, our job is to create. So if we use the subconscious mind as a computer and understand that everything happens in the present moment, well, you could close your eyes right now and go back to any emotional state that was that you got into, and you could go back to that moment and recreate the whole thing using your imagination that you were gifted with. This is your greatest tool that you have,
Right.
and you could reframe that entire situation with love, compassion, and forgiveness, and all of a sudden now the subconscious mind will go, "Oh, hey, I don't need to hold on to this memory anymore. That was a beautiful memory where we learned a lesson. We forgave everybody involved. There was nothing to be afraid of here." And it just moves it out of that fear bucket, and it doesn't haunt us anymore. It literally will just move it into another loving memory that you've had as a kid, and it will never haunt you again. So
Right.
that particular moment goes away. For me, that 5-year-old boy that was in that elevated state and felt stupid, that's gone. I could talk about it freely and it doesn't bother me. And the 50, 60, 70 of the preceding moments where I felt stupid, they're all gone too. And it took a lot of work to get rid of all those. But after the hard work was done, I'm living free of any of those negative moments, and it's joyful. I can sit here and just be happy for no reason, and
Right.
it's amazing. It does sound corny. A lot of this stuff does, especially for men. I know, men suffer at a rate that is, I think, is higher than women because they don't
I
talk about
agree.
it. Right. So we're taught to be tough. We're taught to be manly, and and then men are killing themselves at a 4 times higher rate than women because they're suffering in silence. And then, like myself, you get to 45, you're like, you know,
what's the point?
What's the point? And I never said anything to anybody. My wife, nobody. Nobody knew I was suffering. I was, because it was in silence. And it doesn't have to be this way. If we could understand how the mind and the body work together, we could start manipulating it to make it work for us instead of against.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is where I become a fan of neuroplasticity, because there's so many little things you can do. I've been down the rabbit hole of everything you can do to rewire your brain. What do you think is like the real root? Do you think it's the same for people, or do you think it's different with your clients that are struggling with anxiety, the self-loathing? Is this going to be the trauma? Is it identity, culture, family? Like, what is it that is really breaking people?
I'm going to say that it's all of the above. And so, right, I created a 10-week program, and it ended up being 10 weeks because the first 3 weeks is manual stuff, right? The next 2 weeks is perspective shift, right? That you're an energetic being having a human experience, and then you actually learn how to give unconditional love to everybody else. You do it long enough, then you start to have it for yourself.
Yeah.
But then the next 3 weeks is where you actually go back and you heal, taking attachments off. So, what do you do for your day job?
I'm a stay-at-home mom. That's my job. Oh, okay. I homeschool. Do so podcasts.
I don't even want to do this one to you, because so what I'll typically do to everybody, and it's it, so when somebody sits in front of me, what I'll ask them, I'll say ask them what their job is, and I don't want to do it because I can't say that about a mom, but what I typically do. So I did a podcast yesterday, and this guy's an IT guy, and I said, Josh, you are the shittiest IT guy that I've ever met. And when you say that to somebody, it leaves them a shitty feeling sitting in the middle of their gut, right?
Yeah.
And then I'll look at him and I'll say, oh, Josh, you are also the shittiest attorney that I have ever met. Yeah. And he could just smile and laugh because he doesn't have any response to it. Mm-hmm. Anything that you attach to your ego is now a source of pain.
Right.
And that is a major problem that most people have, and they have no idea that it's a big deal. When I first learned this, I took off being a shoe guy, because I'll wear like a button up shirt, long sleeve button up shirt, dress pants, right, and Jordans every day. It's just something from my childhood, and I enjoy it. But I used to care if my shoes got dirty, or and then I used to be a big old Democrat. And I used to be a Titans fan, and I took all of these things off my Christmas tree, all these ornaments off my Christmas tree when I was, I don't know, about 5 years ago. And immediately my life got so much better, because I wasn't going home watching the news. I wasn't arguing all this negative talk about politics. If I care about politics, all I got to do is pay attention a week before the election, do some research, and vote. Like, I think I owe that to our forefathers who, fought for this right to vote and everything. I owe it to them. But if I can't do anything to change the politics of today, sitting around and making myself miserable all day long, getting cortisol pumped through my system all day long, is just making me miserable. And the same thing with Titans. Every time they would lose, I was miserable as a result. Why? I love watching football, but why can't I just watch it and be happy?
Your week is ruined.
Exactly. And why? It's just hurting me. So once I took those things off of my Christmas tree, all of a sudden the subconscious mind is not trying to defend those things. I've since taken off being a husband, a dad, a grandfather, a COO of a company, all of those things. Anything that I identify with, I will immediately go, "Ooh, that is a source of pain. I need to get rid of it." When I realized how powerful that was, because I had people going through my program who were doing it much better than me. And I was like, oh, I got to step up my game.
Step it up.
And, when I took off being a husband off of my thing, it made me a better husband. You know, my wife called me up because she's very similar to stay at home, does podcast, social media, and raises our kids. And, she does a wonderful job of taking care of me. And she'd call every now and then and just be in a distraught state. And in the past, I would have responded in a very negative way. I would have been like, don't you know I love you? Or whatever.
Right.
I would have a physical reaction in my gut, just like I did to Josh being an IT guy. And now, because I've taken that off my mat, when she calls me, I just, all right, baby, let me help me understand why you're feeling, how can I make you feel better? Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, because I don't have that negative physical response because I'm being attacked, now all of a sudden I'm a better husband. I'm a better dad. I'm more present. I'm able to respond to things in my world without having that physical reaction that brings out negativity. And so when you asked the question earlier about, what is the major thing? I think you could rewrite a bunch of old core beliefs, or you could have grown up in an extremely healthy family, and you don't have a lot of negative core beliefs. You're still going to have some, but maybe the attachments that you have are the ones that are now causing you pain. Another thing is forgiveness. What did Jesus do on the cross? Right. He forgave instantly. Mm-hmm. He basically says in there, if you want to find God, you got to live like him. And that instant forgiveness, I started practicing it on the road, right? I'm on the road an hour a day, and in Nashville, traffic's getting kind of crazy. And people cut you off.
Yeah.
And so then it can make you miserable if you have a negative response. So I would immediately start practicing. I forgive this guy. His kid is sick at home, and I wish him well. I hope he gets home. Please get in front of me. Please go. I appreciate you. I hope you make it home safe. And all of a sudden I stay in a positive oxytocin state. He doesn't kick me into this, and I'm living happy. And the more you practice it, all of a sudden you get to stay there for longer and longer periods of time. And now all of a sudden when you're in that state all the time, and somebody comes around you and they say something negative, and because if you're within 12 feet of somebody, our energies cross over.
Right.
I may even be tapping into your thoughts and your negative core beliefs. There's no telling what I'm picking up depending on what you're feeling. And because we all been around somebody and then we leave and we feel like crap, right?
Terrible.
And it's because we're physically engaging and sharing each other's energy. If you're within 12 feet, we're interacting with their energy. But it's the same thing with somebody who's positive, right? If you get around and now you're feeling great because you just around so-and-so and they're always so wonderful, you can't wait to see them again. There's a lot of things. Core beliefs is a major one. I believe everybody has a boatload of them. And we got to address them. We got to rewrite them or they'll haunt you. That's where a lot of the negative thoughts are coming from. And then living authentically, if you're not being honest, if you're lying to yourself, you are going to be miserable. 100%. You are never going to be peaceful. But when we start to be honest and live in a certain way, the universe aligns properly. So, there's not a simple, I wouldn't put one above any of the other ones, because if you don't know how to do all of them, you could be just as miserable as somebody who's worked on four of them and then so out of whack with your authenticity or if you're lying. And so I would say it's an eclectic group of work that people need to do. But I will say this, if you learn how to manually shift yourself, you're going to be happier regardless manually. And that's the first 3 weeks of my program. And I teach people breath work. I teach people, just do a gratitude journal. It's one of the most powerful things anybody could do.
My whole audience just rolled their eyes right now. They're so tired of hearing that. They're like, they are. But it's the truth, you guys. It's so simple. It is like the most basic fundamental thing you can do that would change everything. The entire needle moves if for 30 days you could just physically write on paper.
Takes 10 minutes. Do it for
not even
one
5
week.
Minutes. Set a timer for 5 minutes and write what you can and boom.
And then at the end of that week, then argue that it's no good.
Correct.
Because it's powerful. It shifts the chemicals in your brain.
Yeah.
And what it also does is it starts to reprogram your subconscious mind. Yes. There's lots of ways to program a subconscious mind. And one of them is auto-suggestion. And I do this in my fourth week, the Learn to Love Being You week, is I tell, and a lot of the girls will do this, that because they look in the mirror, and every beautiful woman that I've ever seen does not look in the mirror and see beauty. They just
absolutely
pick themselves
not.
Yeah. They pick themselves apart.
Yep.
So auto suggestion, what I'll do have them do is come up with something, and a lot of them will address their looks and their self-talk about their looks, and just put a sticky note on your mirror when you're getting mm-hmm. dressed. And every time you see it, you say, I am beautiful. Yeah. And in the first week you look at it, it's going to feel like you're lying. It's going to feel terrible. And then all of a sudden you start to get used to it. And after about a month or two of saying that every morning, and I've got proof that this works.
Yeah.
They start looking in the mirror and they're going, damn, I look good today.
Yeah.
Like they physically start feeling it, because over time you've reprogrammed your subconscious mind to think that way. When you understand that your subconscious mind is a computer and you are mm-hmm. the programmer of it. Well, now all of a sudden these corny things aren't so corny. What kind of thoughts right. do you want? Do you want grateful thoughts of stuff that you're grateful yeah. for, or stuff that you're scared of and miserable of? Like, you are the computer programmer of your supercomputer that is far more intelligent than any computer that's on this planet.
Right.
And you're not taking control over it.
Right. Well, I yeah. love that you brought up the sticky notes around the house, because you guys, everything I've ever, like, the big years that people are like, oh my gosh, you're so lucky, you had so much success. Those things happened because I had construction paper notes taped in every single room of my house. My house looked ridiculous. Like when people came over, I'm sure my family was like, oh my God, this is just my mom. She's so embarrassing. I didn't care. But this is my question for you. Cause this is, I have this answer, but I want people to hear it from you. Cause what do you think that we're all getting wrong about healing? Like, where do we kind of get stuck on things? Because here's something, I did the construction paper notes. It really worked for me.
Yeah.
When I'm struggling, what's stopping me from using those again? It's like, I think I used it one time and I'm good for the rest of my yeah. life. Cause right now I'm like, man, you need to get those notes out again. Cause we yeah. have some bigger goals to accomplish, and everything yeah. that ever worked for me worked because I did that. But yeah. I think we kind of mess up with our healing journey, and we think just because we addressed it and we did it once, I wrote down that I was beautiful. I wrote down that I was successful. I did that already. Yeah. It's not working. Like it's, let's do it again.
Yeah. So the yogis will say, if you want to know what type of life you're having,
yeah.
pay attention to your thoughts.
Yeah.
Whatever world you've created, it starts right here. It starts with all of your thoughts. If you're having miserable thoughts, then that's what the kind of life that you're going to be living. And if you're having these thoughts of, yes, I am beautiful, yes, I'm going to accomplish this next thing, and all those sticky notes are yep. reframing how you're thinking. They're forcing you to reframe how you're thinking. And then that's the life that you're going to get. Like Joe Dispenza I don't know if your audience knows him, but he's amazing. And he's doing so much science behind all this, and your reality is literally being created by the content of your thoughts. You right. know, the way that God made us, he made us in a way that if you're having a fearful thought, you're getting negative drugs pumped into you. And when yeah. you're having positive ones, you get happy. Like these are amazing things that we're ignoring because for whatever reason, we're ignoring them. And
well, I don't think it's for whatever reason. I think you guys are caught up. I tell you all the time, like, put down your phones, get off of the TV. Mm-hmm. You know, I do a political podcast, actually. And so twice a week I'm researching, and my husband can't. He's like, I'm done, because I'm literally like going to blow my head off for someone else's. Like it's to the point where he's at that. Like,
yeah,
it just owned him. He took off all of his social media accounts. He did all of these things. The difference is, because this is my second try at trying to do it, because I do care about things like my perspective has shifted. And I do know there's ways we can make a difference, and being able to have conversations with those people and to be able to, it's not my identity anymore. Like it's yeah. not something I'm, you know, there's no emotion tied to it. Like I can bring the facts, I can bring my beliefs, my core beliefs. I can tell you what I think is right and wrong, but it doesn't bring out those chemicals in me. So yeah. I can handle that. I'm telling you, if you're reading news, if you listen to my political podcast and you start getting all that crazy
emotion, oh my gosh,
it's not for you.
It, like well, it you is, have it an is, attachment. Yeah. You exactly. have an attachment to one side or the other instead of
right.
just trying to come up with the best thing for humanity, it,
right,
based on whatever the issue it is that you're talking right. about. Yeah.
And that's, I mean, social media is killing us. You guys are scrolling on your phones all day and you have access to things that we were never meant to know everything that's happening in the world. I didn't need to know two towns over, you know, that three people were murdered in a drive-by last night. You know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah.
We didn't need to have access to all of this. So all of these things are doing the opposite of everything we're talking about. You're not creating anymore. Like you've just become a useful idiot. Like you're numb and you're dumb. And yeah. and it's not even about it's you're lost. This is you're lost, you guys. There's yeah. money and illness, and there has been this huge orchestrated created event to try to lure you into not creating. It yeah. is a spiritual battle. And every day that you're not creating, you guys are wasting your potential. And the thing is, the time is going to go by regardless.
Yeah.
5 years from now, are you still going to be feeling the same way you're feeling and having done nothing? Or can you get a little bit uncomfortable? And like, what do you think? Because I'm a fan of mindset, but we all know like mindset doesn't fix trauma.
No, you know, our trauma doesn't.
My trauma flipped off my affirmations every time I tried to use them. Right. So what would you say for people that kind of are at that point of, I had to get through my trauma before I could really understand what mindset was? So how do you bridge?
Yeah, because that trauma is loud and that core belief is strong. And so the way that the subconscious mind works is it's very complex. There's parts of you that are in pain and suffering still. And then you create protector parts. A lot of young men can't even remember their past because it's that's the common theme that I've been seeing in men, that they're it just completely blocks it all out. Their memory is completely gone. Mm-hmm. I'm actually working with my son right now, and he grew up in Georgia. You know, I would go get him every other weekend, stuff like that. And I didn't know how bad his childhood was. And when we started diving in, and his physical body was shutting down. He's wanting to sell his business because he was just so miserable. His trauma is bad, far worse than I could have ever imagined. As his dad, I was, you know, sitting there working with him. I was like, holy shit, I had no idea. Why didn't I know any of this?
Right.
But at the same time, he couldn't move forward to simple healing until he dealt with that trauma, like you're saying. But here's the problem, I think, and I don't want to offend any therapist, but when we go and we just talk about our trauma, that does not heal it. No, it doesn't heal it. It doesn't. And it can help you if you're still dealing with a parent who gave you some of that trauma. So you could help understand that, okay, maybe they're a narcissist, and it can help you navigate the world a little bit and understand their triggers and your triggers. But if you don't go back and rewrite those core beliefs, it's going to haunt you forever. And you just talking about it's just going to make you even more miserable. So,
well, that's job security for a therapist, right? Like I've been there and I'm like, wow, it's just trying to make, and even some very toxic life coaches, I realize we're just keeping me stuck in that loop of like, every single week I feel worse. I feel like I'm never going to be at the end of my healing journey, and there's no hope.
it's miserable. And the thing is this stuff has been taught by Buddhism for 2,500 years. The Bible is littered with everything that I'm talking about. It's a little more cryptic and is not as like actionable items, but if you're listening and you're paying attention, it's in all of that. There. It is. It's absolutely in there. And, you know, if we start to just practice and do some of these things, but to your point, I've come across a lot of people, and I actually have a fork in the road, what I call it. I teach everybody how to do the manual things to turn their brain off. And then after week three, I call it a fork in the road, because in week two, you start meditating. And if your trauma is so big and so overwhelming, you can't meditate, right? It's just physically impossible. You get mad, you get disgusted with it. Mm-hmm. You just put it down. The brain does not want to be quiet. That trauma is going to override that. And so we immediately go from week three to week eight, which is the core beliefs, because that is the way forward. If your trauma is so big and it's something that's happened that is so overwhelming, if you can rewrite those core beliefs and move those negative trauma things and reframe it with compassion, love, and forgiveness, and move that moves it out of thing. It won't haunt you anymore. That
Right.
trauma will literally go away. So people go to therapists for 10 years and never get healing. You could go to Chris Hancock or take my program, and some of that trauma, if it was a one-time event, is gone in one day.
Yep.
In one therapy session. A lot of people's trauma was like mine, and I think most people have one like this, where it started when I was 5, creating them, and I created them all the way through my early
for
adulthood.
40 years. Yeah.
Yeah. And so once I learned how to read when I was 25, I look back, I probably had, I mean, I just don't even know. I think I still have lingering ones out there, but for the most part, I don't have to deal with that. And so I can't go heal that in one session. It's going to take me 70, 50, 60, 70 to get through all of that, because there's just so many core beliefs that were created. And once you start to unlock those and rewrite them, it'll get there. So
right.
Depending on your trauma, you've got a lot hard road ahead of you, and it takes a hard work, and it takes courage, because you have to go straight directly at your fears and face them. You literally have to relive it one more time to be able to rewrite it. But once you do, it's such a liberating thing. Whenever I sit down and we write core beliefs with somebody, we go through this whole process, and at the very end, you have to read the new core belief out loud that you've created, and it involves forgiveness and a new affirmations, and a lesson that you've learned from the whole thing. And then when they read it out loud, it's the first time it happened, I started getting migraines afterwards, because all this energy shift had happened. But I would just feel like somebody opened up windows at both sides of the house, and the energies just shifted through there. And you could just feel it. I could feel their energy, and everything would just shift. And for about a week, especially when it's the first time, but it takes about 2 days to 5 days for this euphoric feeling to wear off, because all of a sudden, the system is just kind of recalibrating. Every memory from that day on, you ever see the butterfly effect?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. If everything happens in the present moment, well, that moment shaped all the other moments that you've ever had. So it doesn't just rewrite that moment. It's rewriting every moment since. Yeah. And so your body is kind of going through this euphoric kind of whoa feeling, and you feel great for about 2 days, and then it starts to gradually come down. And then you're back to your normal, and you'll feel like crap again, and you go rewrite another one. And over time, it starts to shift. And it's just extremely powerful. And, to me, that is the way forward for everyone, is to just reprogram it. You are a supercomputer. The yogis talk, and science is backing this up. They basically say that we only live 5 to 10% of our lives consciously. It's kind of like what you were talking about earlier.
Right.
We're not awake. We're sleeping. We're zombies. We're sleepwalking through this world. And we eat automatically. We drive on autopilot. We drive home, and we don't even remember driving
home.
And we
have the microwave mentality. Everything fast. Those dopamine hits fast. So we don't even have to consciously wake up, because we just like, oh, you know how many times I watch my girls would be home from college, and she'd be scrolling on her phone, falling asleep on the couch, like asleep with her phone in her hands. And then I see her like wake up, and she just starts scrolling right away. Like we have just, I think that people listening to this are called. I really do. I think they are called. I think it's never an accident when you are here listening to the show. So this is a great episode for you, and for the person that's listening, to know that it's time to wake up, and is just kind of like, look, I get it. I can see what she's saying. We have these terrible addictions. We're sleepwalking through life. Our DMN has just taken over. But this person probably feels like loving themselves is impossible. So right now, Mike, what is the truth that you want to cut through their lies with? Like, what would they need to hear right now to not just be like, oh, this sounds everything they were saying. Mike is amazing. I bet his program is amazing. What he's saying is so right. But like, what do they need to hear to take that action right now?
You know, I guess you have to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, like when I first started healing, I started seeing pain, and everybody was so overwhelmingly sad. And I just started trying to help people, and nobody wanted to hear it. And I had to understand that really my only way to help people was to continue to work on me. And then when somebody wants help, they open that door, then I can help them. So nobody's gonna, nobody, I can't help anybody unless they want to be helped. So you have to be sick and tired of being sick and tired and be ready to kick yourself in the ass. Like my program is hard. It takes an hour a day. You have to dedicate an hour a day every day to help. You know, a lot of people, you know, how many New Year's resolutions do people follow through on? You know,
we know that here. None.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to just be so sick and tired that an hour a day is better than this misery that I'm living in. And so, you know, the more we wake up, the more we're going to realize that we're miserable. Mm-hmm. You know, that was what did it for my son. He was getting these offers to buy his business, right? He's in his late 20s and he's getting offers to buy his business, and the stress of the plumbing world going up and down is just freaking him out. And so now the stress is too much and his hands are locking up. He can't even do his job because his body's literally killing him. Cortisol, like young man, he's ripped and he's strong as can be, but he can't use his hands. Like we're writing core beliefs and he can't hardly write his, you know, hold a pen long enough to write it. And so for him, the life that he was living, he was ready to give up his business that he loved. Like he was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And then, you know, reached out to me. It's like, man, what do you think? And whatever. And I explained this stuff to him and then it finally hit. But he had came to me with these problems for the last 3 years and it never clicked. Like people have to reach that moment where they're just sick and tired of being sick and tired. It has to suck bad enough to go, because for Brandon, his waking up was realizing that he was sleepwalking through everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's the answer that your audience mm-hmm. needs, is it, you already feel that bad, but you're sleepwalking through it all.
Yeah.
Wake up and do things consciously. You know, don't just eat when your mind's telling you to eat. Mm-hmm. Most of the time you're not hungry. You know, you don't have to work out. If you just stop eating when you're not hungry because you were looking for a dopamine hit, you know, that's when I started fasting and I realized, holy shit, I am not hungry. my brain is telling me to eat. And every sign I started noticing, every sign on the road is telling me to eat. Like there's food everywhere. But we're eating for the dopamine hit. We're not eating because our body's telling us we're hungry, you know?
Right.
And so
I'm super, super stubborn. And I've been a rebel my whole life. Like if you tell me to do something, I'm going to do the opposite. And when I realized how much programming has gone into our human experience right now. And I'm not talking about the program God intended. I'm talking about with media, with everything around you, every fast food place you see, they put so much strategy and research into how they can make you want to pull in that drive-through. Like that kind of pissed me off. And I'm like, wow, these people are literally, I'm not giving anybody control over me.
Yeah.
You know? So I feel like I have a lot of rebels that tune in, and I think it's that clear message of wake the fuck up already. Like it's,
that's it.
You die tomorrow. How do you feel? You're standing in front of God. How do you feel about the past of your life? You know? And I promise you, the people that wake up and keep trying, no matter how many times you get kicked down, if you wake up and you keep trying, that says so much about you. But the people that aren't even trying, what is that?
It's tough. Our subconscious mind is designed to keep us safe. So we have to break those chains. Like when I was going to Chris Hancock, right, he does amazing things. And some of the sessions are mystical and y'all think I'm crazy if I explain some of them, but in the middle of one session, my heart chakra opened up and it stayed open. And like, it didn't close. Not the next day, not the next week. 2 weeks later, I go back to Chris and my third eye opens up. And I'm telling you, I am living an amazing experience when all this is happening, because I literally feel like I'm being hugged by Mother Teresa all day long, every day for 2 weeks. And then my third eye opens up and I'm like, what the heck? And I wasn't really having any mystical experiences from my third eye waking up, but it just had this massive buzzing feeling in my eyebrow. This goes on for about a month and a half and I got used to it. I go back to Chris and he's like, so is it all still happening? I'm like, oh yeah, it is. As soon as I think about it, I could feel it again, but it stopped being so overwhelming that I got used to it. we can get used to being miserable, and we could also get used to being happy. Like, we start to take things for granted because we're not living in the present moment. In the present moment, I will always feel my heart chakra open. But if I'm not in the present moment, I can't feel it. And as soon as I say that to you, all of a sudden I'm in my heart chakra and I could feel it. It opens up. I feel wonderful. But if I'm not in the present moment, I can't feel good or bad. And that's what's the reason why everybody's sleepwalking, is because you're not in the present moment. You don't know how to bring yourself into the present moment to truly feel how horrible you feel. And if you bring your attention into the present moment where life happens, you know, if anxiety's in the future, depression's in the past, but when we live in the present moment, that's where our life is truly lived. And if we're not, our focus is not there, we're sleepwalking. And
you're missing out.
Yeah, we're missing out. And that's how you wake up, is you bring your attention, you intentionally bring your focus into the present moment. What is happening right now? Right now, I'm here with you having a podcast, and there's not one other thing happening in the world. When I give my attention to that, it's amazing. If while you're talking, I'm thinking about what to say next. Well, I'm missing things. We don't have to constantly let this take over. I am living proof of it. Yeah, I could sit with people and I could have a conversation and give them 100% of my attention. And when it's time to talk, I will just speak. I don't have to think about what to speak about. The next right thing is going to get said, and I don't have to worry about it. But my anxiety of the past used to think that way. And when I would try to speak or whatever, I would get lost in it. So we have to wake up. We have to bring our attention into the present moment, and it's going to suck for a minute because we're going to realize how miserable we feel. But then that might give you the spark to say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And then let's go. Now real healing can happen.
Yeah. And I think that's the coolest thing about being a stay-at-home mom, is that no matter what happens on any show I do, any recording, even for the political podcast, or when I get, you know, heavy into my preaching moments, I'm in that moment and I turn it off before I go out there and play Barbies with my kids. Right. It's you flip the switch. Like, there, I was in that moment. Now the moment shifted, and I promise you, being around kids will bring you to like the core of existence, like nothing else in the world will. In fact, my panic now is, I'm like, God, the kids are growing up. What's my safety net when there's no babies here? Like, I need grandkids backed up right now. Like, I need born now, because kids are just magic and they're healing. And I mean, that's God's whole thing, is like, be a kid.
Yeah.
Remember what it was like to be a kid. That's how we're meant to be. Imagination, creation. They literally create their day.
Yeah. They're teaching us that. Sadhguru said that a while back. He said, you should be learning from your kid. Stop trying to teach your kid anything. Sit and witness your kid, and your kid will teach you.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
No, they're hilarious. I love it. But yes, be in that present moment, you guys. So Mike, go ahead and tell us where we can find your program. Kind of what, you know, you've talked a little bit about what people can expect through the steps, but give us kind of a rundown who your ideal client is and who needs to link up with you.
Okay. My ideal client is women, honestly. They've had the most success. You know, the young student who's really good, follows all the things, the folks that have followed this program from start to finish and done everything are those young women that just excelled in school, because they followed every step. It was amazing. Where you can find the program is learntolovebeingyou.com. And it's going to take you about an hour a day of your time. The first 3 weeks, you learn how to manually shift into a positive state, no matter how you're feeling. You don't have to heal. You just need to learn where peace is found and how to find it. And so we give you tools to use and practice, and you'll start to shift into a manual state. After about 3 weeks, you have to start dealing with the negativity on the outside. You may be a spouse, maybe coworkers, because once you start to find peace inside, you're going to realize how much is coming from you from a negative source that's not yours. So there's about a 2-week period of having to have a reckoning with friends, family, to just protect your peace, set boundaries. So that's kind of a challenging thing. And then in that 2 weeks, I kind of soften the load a little bit and give people a perspective shift. And then in weeks 6, 7, 8, we go into true healing, figuring out how the mind and body work together and making changes in our lives to address them, whether it's reprogramming subconscious mind, taking ornaments off the Christmas tree, or just forgiving ourselves and others. And then week 9 is authenticity, learning, you know, just whether or not you're asking yourself a lot of questions and figuring out if you're truly living an authentic life, because authenticity is the most powerful emotion on the planet. It's 400 times more powerful than love. When we live truthful and honestly, it empowers us. It makes us strong. It gives us the power to take over the world. But without it, we're soft, we're weak, we're not strong. And then the last week is starting to take control of the benefits that you've worked on with your mind and mm-hmm. start shifting your body, start doing things, whether it's working out or fasting or eating, stop eating meat, just eating plants, but just do it for a short period of time to just see the benefits of it. Because when your body gets stronger, it in turn is going to help your mind get stronger. And then vice versa, when your mind gets stronger, your body will get stronger and you start to see that connection. And then the last, you know, after that, then you come up with a plan for the next year of how to use all these tools. Cause we can eliminate anxiety in a matter of a couple of weeks with the tools, but depression is a journey, a year or two of a journey. And so you have to develop a plan using all the tools. And over a 2-year period, we can address and get rid of depression as well. And right. That pretty much wraps up the program. It just be prepared. The only requirements is an hour of your time and courage.
Courage. That's it.
Courage. Yeah.
Little bit of uncomfortable moments in your life, you guys.
Yeah.
Mike, I super appreciate you coming on here. I know my audience is going to love you. So you guys, if you're listening right now and something you kind of just feel that deep whisper inside of you, that's just kind of burning, convicting you. Okay. Today, that is not anxiety. That is just the truth trying to get your attention. Okay. We're not here just to give cute quotes or soft therapy vibes. You guys see how we kind of feel about that. That section of life. Mike came on here to remind you that if you don't learn how to live inside your own skin, nothing you choose to do on the outside is ever going to satisfy you. Not the money, not the body, not the followers, not the I'm fine mask, the bullshit facade you've put onto the world, like you've been performing that everything's fine to keep other people comfortable. No, I guess this episode is your wake-up call to stop performing for your life and start healing all the shit that you've been avoiding. Okay. So I challenge you, even before you check out his program, which I will link everything in the show notes. So make sure you guys get resourced, give Mike a follow on the medias that he shared. But before you scroll, before you numb out, before you pretend that you're busy, I want you to ask yourself one question today. Do I actually like the person I am when nobody's watching? I want you to really ask yourself that, because if that makes your stomach flip, good. That means that there's work to do. Okay. And if you're ready to do it, follow Mike, dive into his Learn to Love Being You program, start the journey, because at the end of the day, you guys don't need any more motivational bullshit. You need honesty, you need healing, and you need Jesus to grab you by the shoulders and remind you that you were never created to live small and scared. Okay. This is Listen, Bitch, where I'm not going to let you lie to yourself. Okay. And we're going to catch you on the next episode. I love you guys.